Okay, great. Did our last speaker enter the room? Do we have the last speaker here? No? Well, we may have a little more time than at the end than I thought. Okay, our next speaker is Dr. Sudano, who is a professor of epi and biostats and I guess director for research at the Center for Healthcare Research and Policy at Case Western Reserve University.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let me thank the association for this opportunity to present some of our preliminary work on this NIH-funded project. And I want you to notice a slightly different title than the one listed in the program. Several of us had one of those professional duh moments when we realized that segregation can have an effect on health, but it's really unlikely that the measure of segregation has an effect on health. So we changed the title to reflect that, newfound knowledge. So we don't have any financial relationships with commercial interests to disclose, and in this climate, people who want to have one might find that difficult to have a financial relationship. So, but we thank all the folks who have supported us on this project, the National Institutes of Health and the VA also. As some background information, we know that higher levels of racial residential segregation are typically correlated with higher aggregate levels of infant mortality, you know, mental health problems in adolescence, heart disease, age-adjusted mortality. But the relationship between segregation and individual-level mortality and health declines is less clear. And so in order to reduce racial and ethnic disparities, we all know that that's one of the nation's and also our own local public health goals. We designed our study to provide a little better understanding of the relationship between segregation and health. Some of the weaknesses in prior studies that we tried to address are issues of causality. So we use a longitudinal design, the issues related to the independent dissociation and mediating mechanisms. And so we include extensive controls and adjustments at the individual level. And we also examine the association with morbidity, but actually in this study, it's the particular analysis involves health declines in addition to mortality. And so this is the conceptual model. This slide presents our conceptual model behind this particular analysis, racial residential segregation here on this side. Having an effect on the outcome. In this case, it's a major health decline or mortality. But this relationship is mediated by a host of individual-level factors, demographics, socioeconomic status, health behaviors, and prior health status. So that's pathway A to B. And we also allow for some residual effect or residual direct effect or the effect that's unexplained by all these individual-level factors, and that's pathway C down here. So some of the methods we employ, this slide details some of those. We use a longitudinal data from waves 1 and 5 from the Health and Retirement Study. This is our study period 1992 to 2000. But this is a nationally representative cohort study of adults that were born between 1931 and 1941. They were 51 to 61 years old in the first year of the study in 1992. We also use restricted data, which included geographic identifiers for the respondents' residences at the census tract level, and then we generated a segregation measure that was based on this information. And our analyses included nested multivariable logistic regressions, where we estimate adjusted relative risks for health declines and mortality based on these various levels of segregation, which we'll get to in a second. This slide lists the individual level survey variables. These are the control and mediating variables. Demographics included age, sex, race, ethnicity, and marital status. The SES variables were education, income, net worth, and insurance status over the time period, the study period. Health status, we used baseline self-reported overall health, number of chronic conditions, number of physical limitations that individuals had, and also a health status trajectory, a survey question in 1992 that asks folks if their health was better or worse than it was in the prior year. And also health behaviors, current smoking status, whether or not folks had a history of past drinking problems, and current drinking patterns, and also body mass index. So this is the focal independent variable. In this study, we calculated a black-white measure of segregation that was census tract-based, and we term it the location quotient for racial residential segregation, or LQRRS. The two subscripts are the important points here. The two subscripts in the formula are I, that represents the census tract, and M, representing the minority group. So LQRRS subscript IM is the value of LQ for the ith tract in a region. In this case, we used metropolitan statistical areas, MSAs. For minority group M, and in this case it's blacks, and X, little x subscript IM, is the number of individuals from the minority group M living in the ith tract. Big X subscript I is the total number of residents in the ith tract of that MSA. And so this ratio, or proportion when you do the division, is divided by another ratio slash proportion consisting of the total number of individuals from minority group M across the MSA, and that's the big X M, and the total number of residents in the MSA, and that's indicated by uppercase X. This is an aspatial measure. I mean, it doesn't take into account how the census tracts are arranged in space. You know, for example, are highly segregated census tracts adjacent to one another, or are they spread out in somewhat of a checkerboard pattern? It's a local measure, okay? It's a measure for the tract, not the larger or the global MSA. And it's a measure of concentration, not density, but concentration. And again, it's specifically calculated as a black-white measure. And we categorized it as, this continuous measure, we categorized it as minimal, moderate, low, moderate, and high. And it has a relatively straightforward interpretation. A value of 4 simply means that 4 times as many blacks live in the tract compared to the MSA as a whole. Our outcome variable is a major health decline or death. This is a combined variable, a dichotomous variable, that looks at major health declines in self-reported overall health or death between 1992 and 2000. And a major decline is defined as a self-reported transition from excellent, very good, or good health to fair or poor health, or fair health to poor health between 1992 and 2000. And the deaths are from either the NDI, the National Death Index, and in some way verified by the HRS staff with living spouses or other family members. So we end up with a study population, I'll cut to the chase here, of 6,653 of the original 9,824 individuals that were within that age cohort at the very beginning of the study. We lost some to follow up, had some incomplete records, and we didn't include anybody who lived outside of an MSA, so there were a number of rural folks that were eliminated. Here's some distributional characteristics of this measure. We have 85 MSAs that are represented in this study, a total of 1,304 census tracts. We have over 100 tracts and at least 500 respondents in each of the categories. And once again, a value of 4 means, on the LQRRS, means that 4 times as many minority members live in the tract compared to the MSA as a whole. And so this slide depicts the unadjusted rates of a major health decline or death by LQRRS category. So the low, moderate, and high categories are all significantly elevated compared to the rates in the minimal category, 23.8, 33.7, and 30.5 compared to 18.1 respectively. And this slide presents the results from this nested logistic regressions, and just let me orient you to the slide. In the first panel, we show which factors were sequentially added to each model. So that this is the unadjusted model across here. Then we added demographics and SES, et cetera. The other three panels just present the unadjusted and then the adjusted relative risks. Adding the demographics in Model 2 reduces the effects in all of the categories. And then after adding the SES factors in Model 3, only the moderate category continues to be statistically significant. And then after adding health status and health behaviors in models 4 and 5, it does not explain all of the elevated risk for the respondents in this moderate category. So this still remains elevated risk for folks in this moderate category. So some conclusions. We find partial and qualified support for our conceptual model in Figure 1. The individual level variables mediated all of the association between LQRRS and worse health outcomes for all but those respondents living in the moderate LQRRS areas. And most of this effect was accounted for by demographics and socioeconomic status factors. And in future studies, we need to assess how various social and economic conditions within segregated areas affect health outcomes. And a host of limitations in this study, just a few of them are the dependent variable is self-report with all of the attending issues and questions and validity concerns that some folks might have. It's limited to MSA residents only, so rural folks, once again, were eliminated. And it uses only one measure of segregation, and we have several others that we'll be employing throughout the rest of the study. Again, we use only one analytic method, structural equation modeling, survival analyses, or just a few of some of the other ones that we'll be employing as the study progresses. We don't address geographic mobility issues in this particular analysis, folks who jump around and move out of particular areas. So that may in some way affect the results. We don't measure the duration of the exposure of individuals to the segregation in the segregated area that they live in. Changes in segregation levels over time occur, although they've been relatively stable since the 1990 compared to the 2000 census. And it really doesn't consider community level factors as part of the mediating pathway also. And we will be addressing many of these once again as we continue our work on this project. And I thank you all for your attention. Questions, anyone? Yes. This analysis uses 1990 data. Absolutely, yes. Yes. Because we don't have all the variables in there that mediate the relationship between segregation and health. And some of those, I'm sure, will be community level factors. Once again, we don't have some more clinical measures that I wish we had. I think it's an omitted variable result. I think we can eventually make it all go away. Let me rephrase that. That we can make the effect. We can explain the effect by using additional variables. Yes?
I realize it's about racial urban
And that's a continuing question that we have. And the only thing that I know and that informs us a little bit right now is that older individuals typically would live in more highly segregated areas. So, yeah, it could have something to do with that. Right, exactly. And so, that's part of the concern that we have with the highest level of segregation, being explained by individual level factors, that there may be protective effects of people banding together. So, sure. One more. In process. And there are also other segregation measures that we'll be looking at that will be black versus all others. Hispanic, we will be analyzing some, Hispanic, white, and Hispanic other segregation levels too, and using stratified models too. HLM was in the grant. So, okay, thanks, folks. If Amy Schultz or any of her compatriots are in the room, I don't know her. Okay, there she is. Okay, so she should recognize some of her work embedded in this model. This is something else this is kind of like the model that we put in the grant. And so this is kind of the overall work that we'll be doing. Thanks, folks.